We usually manage to find a few letters to the evening news which we hope will interest you. This week is no exception as we hear correspondents' views on social housing problems, rail ticket closures and road constructions. We'll start with a couple of letters with a political bias. Letter 1, City Council member Peter Prinkle has an axe to grind as he puts his view as a Labour councillor on the complaints made by North Norwich MP Chloe Smith on housing waiting lists. You report that Chloe Smith, the outgoing MP for Norwich North, stated that too many constituents suffer from long waiting lists for social housing and that the City Council offers a poor service as a landlord. In 1981, there was 24,000 council houses in Norwich, representing more than 50% of all the houses in Norwich. Today, there are 14,500. The right to buy at discounted prices created thousands of new property owners, but almost none of the sold houses were replaced with new council houses, and many of the former council houses have become houses of multiple occupation for students, generating large profits for the landlords. Today, there are more than 4,000 on the council house waiting list. Chloe Smith is disingenuous. She well knows the root of the problem was the Tories' right to buy and the fact that the rules prevented the council from reinvesting the proceeds in enough replacement properties. Norwich City Council has a proud record of council house provision, including the award-winning houses constructed at Goldsmith Street and the many more being constructed at Beauthorpe and elsewhere by Lion Homes, Norwich City Council's wholly owned housing company.
Councillor Pringle's viewpoint is supported by a later letter from Lynn Preston of Ashwellthorpe, who says, "Oh, the irony! Your front page headline concerned anger over a £2.3 million bill for temporary accommodation for homeless people in Norwich. In the 1980s, Norwich had a fabulous stock of council housing, but was forced under judicial review to sell it off under the right to buy scheme. Not only that, the council was not allowed to use the proceeds to reinvest in public housing. Many of us at the time anticipated the present shortage of affordable rented accommodation."
Next, on to rail ticket office closures. All the news is that the protests about the proposals are reaching a climax. Jacintha Welsh of Norwich adds her voice. "I am writing to highlight the proposed closure of rail ticket office across England that will have a devastating impact on blind and partially sighted people's ability to travel independently, stopping people getting to work, health appointments and seeing friends and family. Ticket offices are not just about selling tickets. They provide a reliable first point of contact for many kind of staff assistance, such as arranging sighted guidance through the station and safely onto the train, to advising on any changes to journeys. For those unable to access online bookings or ticket machine, rail journeys will be impossible without ticket offices. Modernisation of our railway doesn't just mean apps and touchscreens. Modernisation means inclusivity and not leaving anyone behind. These proposals must be scrapped."
The continued construction of new roads is highlighted by Trevor Phillips of Norwich, with a particular focus on the works due to the A47 and A11 Thickthorne area. "It seems the A47, A11 Thickthorne Road scheme is destined for a change of contractor if it proceeds. Evening News, August the 29th. This is surely another opportunity to reassess the merits of this £100 million project. Why, on our increasingly scorched and smouldering earth, are we funding more roads when, to help tackle climate change, we must reduce our use of vehicles? If we must reduce traffic, there is no need for road expansion. If anyone imagines that future traffic can continue as now, but with electric vehicles, please tell me where the electricity for all these vehicles will come from. No, There must be rapid changes, or the way we organise our world, or, like the Thickthorn Project, we may be on a road to nowhere.
Angela Woodrow of Norwich points out the value of some green lungs as she muses on what is termed as a derelict site. Your report on August the 30th about the derelict edge of city site on Blue Ball Lane in Sprouston concerns an area of grassland, trees and hedges associated with a former sawmill. I wonder why the site is described as derelict, just because it is not covered in concrete. A green lung among all the new housing in that area should be welcomed as a wildlife haven and not destroyed. I hope Broadland District Council will reject this application and the owner will think again about how beneficial it is.